From Matthew chapter 28, known as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 16 or 18. Anyway. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is known as the Great Commission. And yet in some ways today, it could be the great omission. Why? Because we don't do it. We don't go. We don't do what Jesus commanded us to do. We're quite happy in our comfortable little places and with our comfortable lives, really. And we just don't do what Jesus asked us to do. Yet these 11 disciples, Judas, of course, had already departed. They obeyed Jesus and went to Galilee, the mountain where he told them to go. And they worshipped him. When they saw him, they worshipped him. And in a way, it's going to be our response when we see him, to worship him. And yet some doubted. Can you believe that? Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." There are lots of people today who don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe that they are three persons working as one. And it's very clear here in this passage, when Jesus tells them to go make disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we do that, and that's why we use that triune statement, if you like. When we were in Holy Island, we went to a place called the Scriptorium, and they specialised in artistry and drawings, and they drew like a Celtic three-circle thing. And with the overlap, they used the overlap, and it looks like a Celtic drawing. It's called a tricorder or something. Anyway, it means three. So I was so impressed with it. In fact, we've got on our notices at the top there, Trinity Sunday, and it's got exactly what I'm talking about. So I was so impressed with it that I went and bought Christine a pendant thing that was in that shape. So if you want to go and have a look after the service, that's fine. I'm not on commission for any of this, so. But it's a mystery how three can be one. It's a mystery to us. And it took the church such a long time to realize that this was the case. And it can be confusing because the Jews were told there is only one God. And there is, but it's in three persons. But revelation is gradual, isn't it? And sometimes you don't always get the full revelation right away. Just want to read something to you. Jesus posed a real threat, a real danger to the establishment, the religious establishment, teachers of the law, scribes and elders, feeling threatened. They did what everybody does who holds a position of power, whether it's the state, the police or the church. They flex their power and overreach their authority. Authority or power is a raw issue for those who hold it and yield it. The chief priests, teachers of the law, scribes and elders were no different. They wanted to know, by what authority are you doing these things? Miracles, signs. And Jesus answered a question with a question. He asked them whether John the Baptist's baptism was from heaven or from men. And this kind of confused them a bit. They were arguing with themselves that it was a tricky one. If they replied from heaven, why didn't they go to him to be baptized? And if they replied for men, they would incur the wrath of the people who believed John the Baptist to be a prophet. So what did they do? They did what they normally do when faced with a tricky question. They slammed the shutters down, refused to enter into a dialogue, and pleaded, in a way, the Fifth Amendment, as they'd say in America, the right to silence. In other words, they didn't really answer. They didn't have an answer. And Jesus responded in kind. He refused to dignify their ridiculous question, their passive-aggressive question, with an answer. Make no mistake, Jesus of Nazareth pushed back against the establishment of his day, asking for respect for God's authority, but resistance to an authority which undermined God's ways. We should do the same. When governments uphold legislation that undermines the dignity of the human person, from the cradle to the grave, we should resist them. And there's so much going on today that undermines God's authority. They try to. I read about a preacher who got arrested for preaching about the sanctity of life outside an abortion clinic. And he got arrested. They had to let him go later. But that's the kind of authority we have to stand up against. It's not godly. And what happened? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's an amazing statement by Jesus. All authority. everything. And yet we sometimes live as if that's not the case. And then he gives us a command. He said, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I mentioned about the great omission, because we simply don't do it. And it's a challenge for us this morning that we should remember the command that God has given us. It doesn't mean we have to go and knock on every door. It just means we have to live the life that God has called us to live. And in a way, we're preaching when we carry the gospel with us. And we do carry the gospel with us. And when we are asked questions, we should say, well, actually, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe this. And we're going to make a statement, a kind of declaration, if you like, declaration of faith. And I'll read one line out, and then you read the next, and so on. It doesn't last long. I like where it says, but some doubted. They worshipped him, but some doubted. Could that be us? Could that be anybody? And some people have genuine doubts. And I was asked last week by one of a friend of Becky's. I was asked, well, what did I think about all the other religions? So I said, well, I'm sorry, but they're all going to hell. It didn't go down too well. And they kind of laughed and ridiculed. And they said, well, how can you say that? Well, because I know that Jesus is the only one. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But they don't want to hear that. They want to hear, oh, well, there's different ways. All roads lead to Rome, kind of thing. But the sad thing is, they don't. And I felt a bit of a nana when I said it. As you would, because you know you're going to get laughed at and mocked in a way, so... but then I asked him afterwards. I said, well, why don't you just look into it? Look into what Jesus says about himself. And then he kind of said, well, what about others? I said, well, you can look into them if you want, but you only need to start with this one and you won't go any further, really. And I just pray for him that he might come to realize who the light of the world is. So yes, we carry the gospel with us and we share it whenever we can. And I applaud the good work of the Gideons and Good News for Everyone who share, and others who share the Bibles and who outreach by just spreading the word in that way, that somebody might read the passage, be in the right spot, and they might think, oh, I'll have a look at that. And many of them used, when they start in prisons, they use the Bible pages as roll-ups, to, you know, make cigarettes. And then eventually, one or two might read the odd passage and think, oh, this is interesting. But it's so amazing sometimes how God uses his word. Not ours, but his word to reach them. And that happens in prisons, all over schools. And it's good to see that it's just one way of spreading the word, as well as living our lives out in front of people. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, as we know from last week, from Pentecost, to give us boldness to spread the word. And that's what I pray for. In fact, our last song, which we'll sing in a minute, is "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life in you." And that's what I desire for me, and for all of us, in a way, that God would just breathe on us so that we can live the life that we're meant to live and so that his spirit can work in us and to be able to give us boldness to preach, not at people, but to live that life so they can see there's something different. I hope they see something different. Actually, I think we'll sing that now. "Breathe on me, breath of God."